Today on Annenberg Radio News.
At that time, I never thought I was going to get out alive.
After surviving the September 11th attacks, one woman deals with a different struggle. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News. For Tuesday, March 23rd, 2010, I'm Megan McCarty. President Obama signed the health care reform bill into law this morning, marking an historic day in the history of the United States. The bill remains the topic of heated debate, but for many college students and their parents, it's a step in the right direction. Grant Tunkel reports.
Some people believe the health care reform bill is the victory they've been waiting for. Others believe it is a grave mistake for the country. But many believe its impact on college-age young adults is positive. One of them is George Cheney.
My son is in college and he's going to be 20 next week, and it would help to keep him on my insurance. So it would be great to keep him up to 26 years old till he finishes.
The bill allows young adults up to 26 years old to remain on their parents' plan. Before, the cutoff varied in age, with college graduation being a benchmark. Now, graduates who don't have jobs can benefit from their parents' health care plans. This gives students the opportunity to remain insured rather than be on their own. One of them is USC student Natasha Zuves.
Well, I think that's so important, especially for students here on campus. I think a lot of people are really scared about getting sick. I know I'm taking really good care of myself just because before I would be worried that I might not be covered in the future.
Even those who have expressed reservations about the bill believe this part of the bill is a good move. USC student Marshall Kellner identifies himself as a Republican and believes the bill is the wrong move for the U.S. But on this aspect,
that isn't necessarily such a bad thing, especially right now. Kids getting out of college, they don't have a lot of money to necessarily buy their own insurance. So that part of the bill, I'm not that opposed to.
Still, the bill will cost the government nearly $1 trillion over the next 10 years. But George Cheney is willing to accept that.
We're going to have to pay a price either way it goes. It's okay.
For Cheney, his son, and other college-age students, the bill gives them the comfort of knowing they can maintain their insurance for a few more years. Grant Tunkel, Annenberg Radio News.
Immediately after the health care bill was signed today, attorney generals from 13 states filed a lawsuit against the federal government. They claim the federal government can't force their residents to buy insurance. In California, Republican state senators like Tom Harmon are urging California AG Jerry Brown to join the 13 other states in the suit. President Obama signed the health care bill earlier today. While his signature had some cheering, others, like USC professor and health economist Jeff McCombs, are concerned. McCombs says there's no feasible way the country can pay for health care that will cost more than $940 billion over 10 years. He thinks the reform will reduce the quality of health care.
Once you go to a government-run system, Medicare for all, which is what Pelosi and Reid wanted, they didn't get, once you go to that system, then the people running the system have no incentive to actually make any hard decisions because they're not paying the bill. It's just passed on to the taxpayers.
The Congressional Budget Office says the bill will cut the deficit over 10 years. Starting in 2014, people who don't have insurance will have to pay a tax penalty to the federal government. The U.S. Census Bureau is working with Los Angeles-based homeless organizations to count as many homeless as they can for the 2010 census. As Timothy Beckworth reports, it's time to start counting.
To help count the homeless, the mayor's census office decided to host a sock drive. The idea is to entice the homeless to participate in the 2010 census by offering them footwear. It's one of the ways census workers are reaching out to the homeless. Herb Smith is the president of the Los Angeles Mission Downtown. He's trying to get the word out to the city's 40,000 homeless.
If you're homeless and need a bus token, if you're homeless and you need showers or shelter, get counted. Because by getting counted, it will help provide the resources for all of us to do what we do best.
The LA Mission is hosting a number of outreach events and food programs starting March 29th through the 31st. The homeless are among the most difficult population to count, even with the promise of free socks. But Smith says just finding the homeless isn't enough.
The idea of filling out a form is alien to most of them, and so we're trying to find people who can bridge that gap.
Census workers counting the homeless will target shelters, mobile food banks, and also check outdoor locations where the homeless live. U.S. Census staff members will help them fill out the 7-question form. James T. Christie is the Los Angeles Regional Director of the U.S. Census Bureau.
We have made the largest effort to count homeless that we have ever made in our history here in Los Angeles. And that's primarily driven by the changes in our economy.
An undercount will result in a loss of federal funding for the next decade. And with California's budget perpetually out of whack, Los Angeles needs all the help it can get to shed its reputation as the homeless capital of America. Timothy Beckworth, Annenberg Radio News.
LA County supervisors delayed a vote today on a controversial set of new policies for recipients of federal housing subsidies. The county's housing authority wants to increase the amount of time before convicted criminals can apply for Section 8 housing vouchers. The housing authority also wants stricter penalties, including eviction, for Section 8 recipients that miss housing inspection appointments. Greg Spiegel is director of public policy for the Inner City Law Center. He says they will put more homeless people on the streets and cost the county more money.
We'd be interested in talking with the housing authority to find out more specifically what they need to address and working with them to draft the rules so that they're narrowly tailored to meet that and not be a blunt instrument that excludes many more people who could really benefit from participating in Section 8 and the county could benefit by reducing costs.
Spiegel will get the chance to have that conversation. Supervisors today also agreed to begin a dialogue with the housing authority and activists about the role Section 8 vouchers play in reducing homelessness in the county. The City Council voted today to take jurisdiction over a Department of Water and Power rate hike. The rate increase is scheduled to take effect April 1st. Today's move allows the Council to enact or reject the rate hike or send it back to DWP for revisions. Mayor Villaraigosa has warned that not raising rates would be a fast route to bankruptcy for the city, but City Council members say they owe it to their constituents to fully review the hikes. LAUSD budget cuts continue to threaten the jobs of local public school employees. Even some principals are affected. Jason Schwartz finds out how the loss of a principal can impact a school.
Principals act as the head educational leaders at Los Angeles Public Schools. They oversee the academic progress of all the school students and create programs and strategies to help further them along. But LAUSD budget cuts are beginning to force some principals out, threatening to bring on years of setbacks.
If you were to move principals around, it's very disruptive to the programs that are already in place and also the educational progress of the students at the school.
Bruce Onoreda is in his second year as principal of the Norwood Street Elementary School. He says that it takes each principal at least 3 to 4 years before he or she is able to fully implement plans and ideas. He says cutting that time short would only be a setback.
It disrupts continuity in terms of how the teachers are teaching and what their expectations are in terms of what they're supposed to be doing.
The LAUSD currently runs on a seniority system, putting each principal's job at risk. If an administrator in the central office or district office is laid off, they can bump a principal out and take over, a rule that Onoreda fears could have a domino effect. He says the work it takes to build relationships between principals and school communities should not be underestimated. Jason Schwartz, Annenberg Radio News.
Tonight, expect clear skies with lows in the 50s. Tomorrow, there will be mostly sunny weather with highs in the 70s. Wednesday night, the clouds return with fog and lows in the mid-50s. Thursday, expect highs in the mid-60s with sunny weather. Later on Annenberg Radio News, LA residents sound off on what healthcare reform means for abortion. Los Angeles is a city full of dreams and opportunities. Newly Paul has the story of a woman who may have partially lost her eyesight, but not her dreams.
What appears to have been an aircraft crash into the World Trade Center early today, just about 20 minutes ago.
On September 11, 2001, Yaenu White's life changed forever. The 65-year-old used to work as an executive assistant in Fuji Bank on the 82nd floor of the World Trade Center.
At that time, I never thought I was going to get out alive.
On the day of the attacks, she was 5 minutes late getting out of her apartment and never got further than the lobby. That saved her life, but the incident triggered post-traumatic stress and a stroke, which cut off most of her sight, leaving her with very limited tunnel vision.
The way I saw everything, gosh, asking for help, handkerchief, white handkerchief on the windows, and you cannot do anything.
A year later, Yaeno moved to LA to be near her daughter. Since then, her dream is simply to live independently, despite her blindness.
Sit. Stay. Caleb, go.
Today, Yaeno lives with her guide dog, Caleb, in a small one-bedroom apartment by the beach in Marina del Rey. In the evenings, Caleb leads her down to the lobby where she throws him a squeaky ball to fetch.
That's enough. Drop.
In LA, Yaeno is carving out a new identity for herself. Of course, there are challenges and frustrations.
I used to love to go see every Broadway shows. Those things, I don't think I can see too much to begin with. I did try one show, Broadway show here. It wasn't that much fun because I see so little. I wish I had a much more vision.
She's a lot less independent than she was in New York. Her daughter helps her with groceries and day-to-day errands. A cab with a driver takes her to the Braille Institute or to clubs on designated days.
To get dressed, clean up my apartment, to take my dog out. It takes 3-4 times longer than if you had full eyesight.
One step at a time, Yaeno has been adjusting to her new life. At the Braille Institute, which she visits twice a week, she's learning ceramics and yoga.
When she first came here, she wasn't, you know, she didn't have a dog. She didn't go out so much.
Her ceramics teacher, Dori Atlantis, has seen Yaeno change since she came to the Institute 4 years ago.
She would come to Braille dressed as if she was going to work in an office in New York City, you know, very dressed up. High heels, you know, just designer clothes. That was her identity.
Yaeno doesn't talk about New York anymore. Now, LA is home.
I walk to the beach every morning, stop at the coffee shop and meet all the locals. I am finally enjoying even walking to the beach, and that makes me feel so happy.
There are times, though, when the bitterness creeps in. Like in the ceramics class, where she can't see the corners of the clay petals, where some unpainted spots still remain.
Am I still missing? Did I get it right? No. How come I cannot get it?
The limited vision is frustrating, and she has to deal with it, with some help.
I take antidepressant. If I don't take antidepressant, I would be crying. When I stop taking it, My, I couldn't.
Yaeno's way of dealing with her physical disability is to accept it with dignity and to put up a brave front. She says she is lucky to have limited vision when many others live in a completely dark world. Today, Yaeno's dreams are different. She no longer yearns for the fast life in New York. She dreams of being self-sufficient and traveling.
I don't feel I'm 65. I try to enjoy my life. I'll be independent.
Today, she's at a party at Zen Lounge in Hermosa Beach. She's dressed to party in a black knee-length skirt and matching 4-inch heels. As she stands by sipping her tequila sunrise, one of the club regulars asks Yaeno for a dance. She steps lightly in tune with the music, never missing a beat. And from his place near the dance floor, Caleb watches closely as Yaeno dances the salsa. Newly Paul, Annenberg Radio News.
President Obama's historic signing of the health care bill today has left many wondering, what will it mean for me? To find out how these reforms will apply on a local level, I spoke earlier today with Professor Brietta Clark of Loyola Law School.
There are, I guess, a couple of things that may stand out about California. And one is just our large population, the numbers of insured, the number of people we have with chronic conditions or illnesses that keep them from getting insured, and the undocumented population. And so the laws may both benefit California in some ways, but also mute some of that benefit because of that population and that diversity. The way in which it can help, right now we do have a lot of people who are being excluded from insurance coverage. Anything that helps make insurance more affordable and can require insurance companies to cover people with pre-existing conditions would definitely help.
How will the bill affect or not affect California's large undocumented population, and how will that affect how these reforms are played out in California?
You know, that was one of the big controversial issues. So they basically just left the undocumented population out of this bill. And currently our laws preclude many of those, including those here legally, from accessing public benefits. So this reform didn't really do anything to address that. We need to do something about it, and hopefully when we turn to immigration reform, something can be done as part of the immigration reform package to address that issue. That we haven't really addressed making sure that they can get access to insurance that would help keep healthcare costs down over the long haul.
And now, looking at reproductive health, will this bill affect California insurance in the protections and the coverage that it already offers regarding reproductive health?
One of the big goals of this bill was to preserve the status quo, which prohibits federal funding from being used to subsidize abortions except where necessary to save a life. This has been the case for years. California has always had more protective constitutional and statutory rights for reproductive health. So California has always been doing its own thing. So nothing in the bill undermines California's ability to do that.
Brietta Clark, Loyola Law School, thanks so much for talking with us today.
Thank you.
While many people in Los Angeles are concerned about health care being passed today, others are focused on the abortion part of the bill. President Obama signed an executive order that says no federal funds can be used to pay for abortions. Brandon Marcus investigates what this means for residents in South Los Angeles.
The United States was one of the last countries in the Western world to get universal health care today. Planned Parenthood CEO Rebecca Isaacs says this is a day to be remembered.
Bringing, 32 million people into the healthcare system is one of the hugest advances we'd see in our country, and I think it's just a monumental effort and a monumental victory, even though not everything's perfect about the bill.
One thing that Isaacs believes can be changed is the executive order in the bill, which states that no federal funds can be used for abortions except in extreme cases such as rape, incest, or the mother's health.
I don't see why something that women in particular may need at a given time for any number of reasons, why that should be marginalized and held out and somehow made different.
Outside a shopping center in South LA, residents had differing opinions on federal funding for abortions. Gloria Lopez says abortion is part of women's health and should be paid for.
The economy, first of all, can't afford any more people as far as welfare and stuff like that. So I think they should pay for it.
Soily Ponteleone disagrees and thinks the money should be used for new schools and hospitals.
People should just, take care of themselves more. Pregnancy is preventable.
Whether you agree or disagree with the new bill, everyone agrees that monumental change has been made today. Brandon Marcus, Annenberg Radio News.
Now we check in with Trevor Thompson to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. Trevor?
Thanks, Megan. Here's what we got for you tonight. More on the raging healthcare debate over the constitutionality of the historic bill. And speaking of hot-button issues, the Los Angeles City Council is deciding whether or not to increase tax on medical marijuana dispensaries. And then finally, we'll tell you about an ever-growing sport that's ever-growing in popularity. It's women's full-contact roller derby.
That's it for this Tuesday. We had help today from Ariel Pratt. Karen Marcus is our producer. Timothy Beckworth and Richie Duchon are the executive producers. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Megan McCarty.